Peace, love, and harmony, family. Welcome back to another episode of Talk Tuesday. I am your host, Bianca, and as always, your support means the absolute world to me. For today's episode, I want to talk to you guys about something that's a myth in our community, something that's this unspoken ghost that nobody really talks about. I don't know if it's because of a lack of knowledge or we just don't know, but either way it goes, credit, people. We need to talk about credit, especially in minority communities, Black and Brown. Definitely tune in. This is for all people, of course, but it's really like a disproportion out here when it comes to credit and the knowledge and everything. So I wanted to make sure that I bring in a very special guest for you guys. Like I promised, more interviews that are going to help you guys better yourselves and just be your best selves that you could possibly be. So without further ado, I have Miss Sabrina here from Better Credit Brina. So I'm going to let her introduce herself a little bit. Go ahead.
I am in the building. My name is Sabrina. My handle, though, I go by Better Credit Brina, obviously. I am in the business of ensuring that everybody, especially people of color, obviously my demographic is important, understand the importance of obtaining and maintaining good credit. A lot of us tend to think that as long as we're making enough money and we have good jobs, that we're secure in our future. Where it's actually the adverse. Cash is king, but credit is power. Right. You can do a lot with cash, but with power, you can make a whole, with credit, you can make a whole lot of moves. So I want to ensure that I can reach out to as many people as I can so that they understand the importance of good credit.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what made you start your own company? Like, what made you decide that I want to help people with their credit and just, you know, overall just be better financially?
I actually was the victim of bad credit.
Wow.
A single mother, had my son at 17. I pretty much lived in survival mode up until I was 25. Mm-hmm. Literally just paying bills, making sure, you know, nothing was getting cut off. I was I had not been exposed to the world of credit. You know, I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was just doing what I had to do to make sure he didn't go without.
Right.
You know, making sure the lights didn't get cut off, paying partial balances just to ensure that I would still have money in my pocket in the event that something else happened. Nobody explained to me the importance of having good credit while raising a child, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, let alone by yourself, but when you're raising a child, you know, you want to have a legacy. You want to have something to leave for them, because obviously a Brinks truck isn't going to follow you in the hearse.
Right.
So credit, it was something that was taboo. It was not spoke about in my house. I was not, you know, as I was being brought up, nobody talked about it. My grandmother always stressed the importance of cash. And while she owned her house, she still didn't even really understand the importance of credit. So I had to live it and experience it. And I finally got to the point where my back was against the wall. I couldn't get a car for a decent, you know, monthly payment and low APR. I was walking in and they were telling me, oh, we can give you a car, but it's going to be about $500 a month and your APR is going to be about 28% because my credit score was so bad. I had let so many things go to collections and fall by the wayside that by the time I wanted to start actually utilizing my credit, it was trash.
And some people actually,
I had no idea.
Right. And some people actually would take that deal out of desperation because they need it and mess yourself up even more.
That, and especially in our demographic, in the African American community, so many of us end up in a situation where our back is against the wall, and out of desperation we're just like, it doesn't matter, I need a car. Truthfully, we know we can't afford it. It's a, you know, $30,000 car, but we end up spending almost $50,000 because of interest rates and all this mm-hmm. other stuff that we don't know about already. But for us, it's just a matter of, like you said, desperation. We end up needing to be in a vehicle at the moment. So it's like, whatever, if you're going to give it to me, I'll figure out a way to make these payments.
Yep, exactly.
So I ended up on this side of it, obviously, like I said, because I was in a situation where my back was against the wall and I needed another car. I needed a new car. The car that I had purchased outright with cash, and it, you know, it died on me and whatnot. But I had a friend, my colleague, shout out to the Credit Connect, Tommy, he had been posting about it for years, and I'm like, what is he talking about? Of course, I thought it was a scam.
Thought
it was just a get-rich-quick gimmick for him. Like,
everybody sees those.
Yeah, and you do see it all the time. And even with me still doing it right now to this day, you see it all the time. But he was somebody that I knew and I trusted. So I finally reached out to him, and I started asking him questions like, okay, I need you to help me, because you keep talking about you have a 700 credit score. Like, we're the same age. Granted, he didn't have any kids, but I could not understand how here I am struggling in my apartment, paying this outrageous amount for my car every month, and my friend, who's the very same age as me, owns two houses already. Like, how? He didn't come from, you know, good credit. He learned it along the way.
Right.
So started asking him questions. I finally signed up with him. I saw the results. It was a tedious process. It was trying. I had to remain patient and diligent. There were a lot of things that I had to do on my end, too, that I wasn't prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed, oh, okay, I'm going to pay him this $350, and he's just going to handle it. Like, he's going to be a miracle worker.
Right.
As most of us do. I still get clients to this day that expect, because they've handed me a certain amount of money, I'm just going to make these miracles happen, and within 6 months, they're going to be in the 700s. So, went through the process with Tommy about a year and a half. After going through everything, I went from, I want to say this was so long ago, it was probably over 10 years ago now, but I believe I was in the 580s. By the time I was done with Tommy, I was touching 700. It wasn't my average, but it felt good to see it.
Yeah.
On my report final. I was just like, I can't believe I did that.
Right.
And it's so liberating when you know I can get anything I want right now.
You don't owe nobody nothing.
Yeah, right. It's literally up to me to decide what I'm going to do with this right now. So went through the process. I saw the results. I understood it. I took heed to everything that he was saying. It even got to the point where I started talking to other people about it. Like, what's your credit score like? Because obviously it was intriguing to me because I was learning this. So I'm like, if I didn't know this, obviously my friends didn't know either. We're all in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So just started talking to people about it. Like I said, I was intrigued. You almost become obsessed because you just keep seeing your score climb. And it's like, okay, I want it to be higher. What do I need to do now? So being on that end of it is what ultimately led me to be on the other side of it, where I'm like, okay, I need to start pushing this on other people. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to advocate and tell people that this is what they need to do to ensure that they have good credit.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I guess and they always say, you know, experience is the best teacher, because having going through it and then coming out on this end of it, it's just like, you wouldn't even believe. I mean, I tell people all the time, like, I can attest to it because I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just something that I'm doing because it's, a nice little hustle. I'm passionate about it because I've lived it.
Right.
I can tell you, where I come from and what I have now. It's night and day.
Right.
And I'm like, damn, that's all I had to do.
That's it. And a lot of times with us, I know growing up, I always heard, oh, it'll fall off your credit in 7 years, don't worry about it. But that is the
not true.
Right. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Now that I'm older and I understand and I know better, but like you said, in our community, we don't know any better. So how can we do better if we don't have those people out there who are actually doing those things, who are
right.
going out and fixing their credit? Especially it's easier for people to believe you when you've lived that type of lifestyle before, when
exactly.
you had the bad credit. So your testimony
exactly,
is definitely a blessing.
As you mature, you're sitting around and you're listening to your aunties and your uncles and your mom's friends and your neighbors, and you're like, I'm listening to them, but they're renting. She still doesn't have a car.
Right.
She's asking her son for money. Why am I listening to her?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know what she taught. She's not living it. She can't tell me anything.
Yep.
And I will tell you that once my score started to rise, not that I thought that I was better than anybody, but conversations change. I don't talk about the same things anymore. I'm in rooms that I never thought I would be in. I'm
mm-hmm.
talking to people that are making 6 and 7 figures, but they're my age, and it's because of their credibility.
Right.
It's not because, they went to Ivy League schools or anything like that. It was purely because of their credibility, their credit worthiness. It had absolutely nothing to do with the degrees that they have or the level of education that they had. It was merely somebody stopped them at some point early on and was like, don't mess up your credit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they followed suit. And because of their credit worthiness, they were, you know, opened other doors as far as their education and other things. It's a trip how everything ultimately falls under the same umbrella, but it's definitely opens a lot of doors for you, that's for damn sure.
Absolutely, and that's a great segue to my next question for you. Do you think that because we don't have the proper knowledge and we're not aware of the things and how important credit is, do you think that that attributes to the opportunities that we miss?
As far as, definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Once again, because I've lived it, A, and B, maybe 85% of my clientele are African-American women, let alone men. But, yeah, 85%, I could say about 85% of my clientele are African-American women, and just not knowing has set them back. So mm-hmm. far, granted, you know, making a milestone in any, I tell them all the time, just celebrate the small victories. You're making a step now. It doesn't matter that you're 40. You're still here. You can still do it. But mm-hmm. just not knowing is such a hindrance. It's not even funny. Like, I can't even stress the importance of, you know, speaking credit into our youth. You have to know this stuff. If you don't know it, you blow it, and it takes so much work to fix it.
It really does.
Like trust. The moment you lose it, it takes forever to try to get it back. You mess up your credit, it's a very tedious and meticulous process trying to fix it.
Yeah, nobody's gonna trust you. Exactly. That was a good, I like that analogy. That's really good. Credit, your credit is your trust. You're saying trust me to take what your money, and I'm gonna give it back to you. But people don't look at it like that because it's not something that someone is physically handing them money. They look, that's oh, trust me. But you expecting a bank that doesn't know you and all they're looking at is the application to trust you. Mm-hmm. I actually went through this myself when it was time for me to go to law school. How am I supposed to get a $100,000 loan to go to law school when I still have $20,000 from an undergraduate debt? They're not going to give me the money. So, like, you know, just having that conversation with yourself first and just being real and honest with yourself and not lying to yourself about your credit situation and becoming aware of it. Like, because a lot of people, I talk to my friends all the time about credit. Some of them are like, oh, yeah, but I don't know my score. Like, I don't care. I don't want to know. What do you mean you don't want to know? Like, I know you're scared.
We have acquired this out of sight, out of mind notion, mm-hmm. and that's not good. Just like you mentioned earlier with the whole, oh, it'll fall off in 7 years. A lot of people have that mindset. They think, as long as I don't think about it, whatever, I don't have to deal with it in 7 years. Actually, you do. It's not going anywhere. I tell my clients all the time from inception throughout the duration of the process, nobody is going to care more about your credit than you do. Not even me. I'm here to help you. But there's not a single person on earth that's going to care more about your credit than you do. If you're not invested in this and trying to make it happen, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You have to stick to the strip. You've got to stay the course. It's hard to commit to. It's definitely a job. But once you learn it, you know, it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. Mm-hmm. So once you figure it out, then it just becomes second nature. And I'm telling you, the outcome, the lack of stress, the financial freedom, the ability to say, I don't want to do that just because I don't, not because I can't.
Right, really.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Do you offer any programs or classes or anything like that to the community so that people could learn about this, maybe free webinars or anything?
I have in the past, actually. I was doing speaking engagements and stuff, obviously, pre-COVID. I have made several appearances. I've done things at, like, community colleges, women's groups, empowerment brunches. For whatever reason, a lot more women are willing to admit that their credit is messed up and they need help than men.
Right.
My male clients, they'll submit an inquiry, you know, via email or whatnot. But as far as showing up to something and being in the forefront and letting other people know that they need help, it doesn't happen as often. So I've been fortunate enough to speak to a lot of groups of women as far as their credit is concerned. I don't have any like mentorship programs or anything like that, just because I work a regular 9-to-5 too, so I'm kind of pressed for time, so to speak. But I would love to be able to do something like that in the future. Obviously, the humanitarian in me is dying to do something like that.
But right.
I would have to find the time. If I can't give it 100%, I'm not going to do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of percentages, when I was doing research for this interview, you know, I was coming across statistics for just the different disparities between the communities and ethnicities and races, and I want to hit you with a little facts and get your opinion on them. So according to a survey that was released in 2020, the survey had 80,000 people in it. Each group, each demographic had 10,000 people in it. The average score of Hispanics were 701. Blacks were 677. Asians were 728. And you have your others at about a 750. I'm not really sure who the others is, but that's pretty high. And then it had the other, which was at a 800 or plus. So according to what the nation, the whole United States of America statistic is, the average credit score is at a 703, while blacks are at a 677 and Hispanics are at a 701. So they're right about there. So I guess for this question, you know, this does apply to everyone, of course, but it's right here in the statistics. It's a real disproportion from a 677 to the average of a 703.
703. Mm-hmm.
And do you
absolutely? To be honest, it may be even lower than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Bottom line, it comes down to a matter of pride.
Okay.
Our culture is extremely prideful.
Right.
We don't like asking anybody for help, whether it's family, a friend, a business that can help us out. We're always looking for hookups. We want fast. What is the word I'm looking for? Instant gratification is what we're looking for at all times. We want something that's quick and easy, right?
Right.
We don't realize, and I think that comes from being raised in survival mode. It's just like, I don't want to have to do all that. Just get me to where I need to be immediately. We're almost willing to break the bank to have instant results than we are to sit on some money and have it happen over time.
Right. Well, we don't have money to sit on.
Right. We don't come from it.
Right.
So it's like, if I have this 500 and you're promising me you can get me in the 700s, let me give it to you. Which is how a lot of people, you know, come across a lot of these scam artists. And then 6 months later, they're like, I can't find this man. I gave him my last. I don't know where he is. Right. He's done nothing. And trust me, I've been there too. But I definitely think that it starts at home. Like, for instance, one of my best friends is Hispanic, right? She lived at home. I had a kid at 17, so obviously I moved out early. But she lived at home up until she graduated from college. She didn't have any kids, but her two brothers and her sister were all still home because her parents told each of them, if you can't buy anything, you're not leaving here.
Right.
I'm not going to allow you to move out and struggle. Whereas we come from a demographic that's like, you're grown.
Get out.
I don't know what to tell you. You need to get out.
Or go get a job, period.
So ultimately, we struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're fed to the wolves. It's just like, oh, you got to figure it out. You're grown now. You're not my problem anymore. It's horrible, but it's definitely, like you said, a cultural disparity, because I don't know any, well, I have a couple of black friends that actually got to stay at home. Their parents just had a different mentality.
Right.
Their credit scores were higher. their parents knew better.
Yeah.
So they were like, I'm not kicking you out.
Right.
But this is what you're going to do. They started teaching them about credit cards and not just taking any offer that's brought up to you. But I can honestly say that personal relationships that I have with anybody that's not black, their experience is totally different from mine. Mm-hmm. They were not forced to have to grow up real fast.
Right. And that definitely,
I may have one or two friends that struggled along with me, but it was just because they were the black sheep. They didn't want to go, you know, they wanted to go against the grain. They weren't trying to hear anything that their parents were saying. And now they realize that it was on them and they should have stayed home and listened.
And exactly. And being that, you know, our opportunities are limited by having, you know, such not understanding how credit works and not being able to get us into certain places and things like that, we by default are already at a disadvantage. We don't have the same networking capability, so we surround ourselves with people who are quote unquote like-minded, but where all of our minds are wrong. So how do we get out of that cycle? And I was reading a different article from Elite Personnel Finance, and it was talking about secure credit cards versus regular credit cards. And you know how in African American communities, you not necessarily are they're targeted, but they are targeted more with higher interest rates on cards and things like that. And it also went into detail about, you know, back in the day, how it was harder for African Americans to get loans and businesses and how certain numbers were already stacked against them and everything. So I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit of the difference for us as far as credit, secure credit cards and regular credit cards.
Well, a secured card is a very clear indication that you are not worthy as far as credit is concerned. Because secure means that it means that you're securing the line of the amount of cash or credit available to you.
Earning your trust back.
You have to ultimately give a deposit. Yeah, you have to give a deposit up front. Mm-hmm. They'll give you a card so that you can start building and working on your score, but it's up to you to set the limit. So if you send them a $200 deposit, you're only going to get a $200 line of credit.
Right.
Whereas an unsecured line of credit is when you're walking into the bank and you're saying to them, I need you to give me some money. Mm-hmm. I need a credit card. I need a line of credit with you guys. Here's my blueprint. Let me give you my social and give you all my information. You tell me what you're going to give me. It doesn't work like that with a secured card. With a secured card, you're already in the red. You're already in the, you know, bad credit zone. So they're like, okay, well, we'll give you the opportunity to rectify it, because the good thing about a secured card is you can set the limit. I tell most people to start off with 300, because as small as it sounds, you would not believe the amount of clients that I have that max out $300 credit cards and blow it.
On their secured credit cards?
Yes.
They max out their own money?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And then get mad because they want the money back afterwards. Right. And I'm like, that's not how it works. It's not a prepaid card. It's not a debit card. You don't just put the cash on it and then give it back to it. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
So learning, even with the $300 card, learning to keep utilization below 30% is hard for some people. Mm-hmm. As soon as they get it, they go and spend $270 on some shoes.
Right.
Like, yeah, you weren't supposed to do that.
Right.
Small purchases. Make the payments on time. You know, learn to use how to use the card. It's unfortunate, but like I said, that's what I'm here for. I'm obviously providing the tools from the very bottom. So I tell people all the time, if they don't already have any other lines of credit, a secured card is the fastest way to boost your score because it teaches you how to maintain it.
Okay.
Then from there, after about 6 to 8 months of good reporting, all the way through 6 to 8 months, the entity in which you have the secured card will contact you and say, hey, we're offering you this unsecured line now.
Right.
Since you've shown us that this is what you can do, we're willing to give you this. And that's typically how you end up in the position to where you can now start applying for cards and actually getting them from mm-hmm. the banks. But yeah, like I said, secured cards are a good stepping stone, but it's not what you want to aim to do.
So when you're rebuilding your credit, definitely you want to go with the secured card first. Because I know some people who
for sure
are offered actual credit cards.
You don't have a choice.
Well, yeah, that's true. Unless you get a credit card with a high APR.
Well, and a lot of us, you know, we get pre-approvals in the mail all day. But right. Pre-approvals are just based on the fact that you're a living person. A pre-approval doesn't mean you've been given a card. They're just pulling your social and they're like, oh, okay, well, you're not bankrupt, so try it.
And right.
You run in and they're like, nope, sorry, unfortunately, you don't qualify. Then you're like, why the hell did you send me a pre-approval then, right?
And then I just found out when you run your credit, you have sometimes soft inquiries, but those hard inquiries stay.
I didn't
know about that. I had no idea.
And hard inquiries, a hard inquiry is pretty much a credit card, you know, retail store cards. When you're in Target and they're in line, you're like, you want 10% off if you apply for a red card today? You're mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, heck yeah. Not knowing, that's another inquiry on your card. You got the 10% off, but was it worth it?
Right.
Because inquiries are about 15% of your overall score. And an inquiry looks bad because it's like you're bouncing around from place to place trying to get all this money. That's just like if you were house hopping, borrowing money.
Mm-hmm.
That person's going to call the next person like, he just left here. Don't give him no money. I just gave him $20.
Right. Okay.
It's the same thing.
That makes sense.
Inquiries are the same thing. It's more entities looking into you because you're asking them for something. Okay. So if you have too many in a short amount of time, right off the bat,
you look desperate.
Banks are like, no. You're bouncing around too much. You don't know what you're doing. We're not giving you our money.
Yeah. Well, you don't even know. Like, yeah, you look desperate. You're just trying to go to anybody who's going to give you money. Okay, I never thought about it like that. Make it make sense then. Thank you for that knowledge for sure.
Absolutely.
How likely, I know you said earlier, like, you know, when you have clients, they sometimes just want to take your money and just give you the money and just you just do everything that you got to do. So
right.
How fast are your... the ideal client is participating with you, making sure that they're on their credit, like going with your services. How likely are they to see an actual turnaround in their credit score and increase? This is an ideal client.
Every report is
different. Right.
Right. Every report is different, so therefore results vary.
Okay.
I've had clients typically, due to legal statutes and what the bureaus are required to do, typically, you'll see results as soon as once you start within 30 to 45 business days. That's not including holidays and it's not including weekends. So 30 to 45 business days is roughly about a month and a half on a calendar.
Okay.
Right? However, due to COVID and massive layoffs and whatever else, it's taking almost 60 business days, which looks like 2.5 months on a calendar.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. And people, you know, they get antsy because mm-hmm. they're like, I've given you my money, nothing's happening, what's going on? And my hands are tied because I'm a third party. I'm working for you. I'm advocating for you.
Right.
You know, just like if I was your attorney. I'm speaking up for you, but they're only going to tell me so much because it's sensitive information. This is your identity.
Right.
I can't call these people and say, well, she said XYZ. I'm ultimately working for you. I'm posing as if I'm you trying to get this information.
Mm-hmm.
So once we send out the challenges and dispute, you know, negative derogatory marks on the report, the updates actually go to the clients directly. And then in turn, they have to let me know, oh, I have written correspondence. I have something. I'm going to fax it, you know, scan it or email it to you. So you can look it over, see what's been addressed, and then proceed with business as usual to address what hasn't been addressed.
Right.
I explained to them in the beginning, though, you know, I'm like, I hope you're not looking, you know, please don't call me in August telling me you want to buy a house in September because it's not going to happen.
Right.
I'm not a miracle, you know what I mean? I don't have a magic wand, and it's not a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo type of situation. However, I have had situations where, you know, the turnover was only 3 months. And they're like, okay, I'm good. My lender said I'm ready. I qualify for my house now. This, that. Thank you so much. And then they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on, A, what your reports look like coming into this. B, the cooperation of the client. Just handing me your file and expecting things to just happen, like I said in the beginning, I'm not going to care more about your credit than you do. I have hundreds of clients. I'm definitely not sitting around saying, oh, man, I wonder if Melissa, what her reports are looking like today. I probably have about 10 Melissas.
Right.
While I have a system and I, you know, do updates accordingly, if it's not your time, I'm definitely not thinking about you.
Right. You're only going to get as much as you put in.
I mean, and I course, the same thing with your doctor. You know, once they write your prescription and you leave, if you don't call them and say something's wrong, they don't call you back.
Right, exactly. And that's a good point. I like that you said that. It's just like the doctor, because people don't understand how severe it is.
They don't. It's kind of like they think because they pay me for the service, like I'm like their personal assistant or something. And I'm like, well, that's not how it goes. And or, Bianca, I get people that do, they pay the service, right? They start the service, and then 3 months later, once I look at their reports again, I'm like, you went and applied for a loan? Oh, yeah, because I was trying to do... How am I going to help you if you're continuously adding things to the report?
Right.
I can't help you with that. Now you have another inquiry because you went to a bank to try to get a loan. You got denied, and now you're mad at me because you got denied. You've only started the process 3 months ago. Where did you think was going to happen in 3 months?
Like you said, people want instant gratification.
All the time. And like, you know, the analogies that I'm using with you, I use with my clients. I tell them the same thing. I'm like, when you go to the ER, you tell them what's wrong with you from head to toe, right? They give you medication. You leave. They write on paper and tell you, should anything change or you feel any different, let us know.
Right.
They don't call you to check on you. Not saying that I don't provide customer service, because I do. I do. Like I said, I have a running list. So I get emails and, you know, things that remind me when to reach out to certain people. But if I don't hear from you, I assume things are fine.
Right.
I assume you're satisfied with the service and that you're, you know, you're seeing the results. So you're just like, okay, keep doing what you're doing.
Well, closed mouths don't get fed.
Yeah, I've been doing this, and in September it'll be 8 years now. So I've kind of acquired a thicker skin. When I first started, I did a lot of hand-holding.
Okay.
And then I learned that that wasn't the way to go.
Right.
People don't need their hands held, because even after the fact, I have a few clients that, you know, 6 years later, they still email me like, hey, I'm getting ready to try to go get a car. Do you think I should? And I'm like, girl, your file expired 7 years ago. I don't know what your credit report looks like right now.
Right.
However, I'm here for you, but my time is money. You want me to look at your reports again today? That's going to cost you a little bit of something.
Right.
But, and only because I'm giving you the tools, I've given you the gems, you know what you should have been doing over this course of 7 years. Why you have to call me again is a problem.
Exactly. And I think
once I wrap up files, I tell people all the time, I hope to never hear from you again. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Right.
Because I want you to understand this. I don't want you to have to, you shouldn't have to lean on me for 7 years. You should have this figured out by now.
Right. And that's exactly what we promote here at Harmony Politics. Knowledge, wisdom, and community. If you get the knowledge, if you don't actually go out and apply it, you're not using wisdom. You're not doing anything mm-hmm. with it. Because to know better is to do better. So, and of course, you got to take it back to your community and share and make sure that they understand and are aware. And, you know, I definitely personally, I've reached out to you about my credit, and I'm proud to say since I've reached out to you, I have 10 things on my credit. I'm only sitting at 2 things. So, you know, I'm about to make that young payment after this interview, you guys. So definitely want to work with Better Credit Brina. That is such a tongue twister. Better Credit Brina. So you guys definitely want to reach out to her. I vouch for her. I'm about to make a payment to work with her. You guys, I reached out to her a while ago about my credit. She broke it down to me. I got my little feelings hurt. I was like, you know, now's not the time. I'm not ready. I got so much other stuff. Like, you know, I got to transfer my money from the checking to the savings account. It takes too many days. But, you know, I kept seeing her post on social media, and I'm going to definitely give her a chance to shout herself out. But I kept seeing her post and just little gems that she's dropping. You know, I was like, you know, let me try to see if I could do a little sum so she don't have to do so much work. And it worked out, you know, doing the disputes and paying them off and making sure I get those letters of deletion and all that stuff. So I'm proud to announce, you guys, I'm down to 2 things on my credit, and I'm not going to owe anybody. I can't wait to say that.
The freedom of being debt free is, girl, you will feel like you've lost 50 pounds.
Like, literally. I'm not going to know how to act. Like, what did you say to me? I don't owe nobody nothing.
Right.
And it makes you smarter about money and how you spend it too. Because even now, even though I only have 2 things on my credit that I need to get off, I still think twice about things when I make purchases. Like, do I really need this? Like, is it really necessary? Right. Like, I'd rather invest that money in the stock. Not, I understand that you can use credit to make yourself more money. Like, credit is money. It's opportunities, it's networking, and it's money. And people, I don't think that they grasp that concept that if you have good credit, you can go and get a credit card and use that credit card to get a loan or go build something or whatever it is.
Anything. Mm-hmm. You can literally start a business on a credit card.
Right.
If you're lying, you know, when you walk in and to sign a lease and they're like, okay, how do you want to pay today? You're like, here you go.
Credit card. Exactly.
I'm going to put this on my card because I know that I can pay this off before the next billing cycle. I can't hand it to you all at once, but I do have this credit card that's mm-hmm. going to help me.
Exactly. And even on Shark Tank, I love that show, by the way. They talk about rich people don't use business or personal credit. They use business credit. So just even understanding that there's two different types of credit. But first, you definitely have to make sure that your personal credit is correct. So
right. Because your personal credit is your blueprint.
Right.
You walk into a bank, you know, assuming that you're going to open up a business credit line. They're like, okay, well, who are you? Let's see. Should we give you one?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go from there. I can talk about this for days, honestly. But I tell people all the time, I get a lot of clients that are like, I make good money. I believe it or not, a lot of my clients are nurses, doctors with mm-hmm. bad credit.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine student loans and student loans
they're
is kicking.
Making so much money. And they're just like, I don't have the time because they're working, you know, 12, 16 hours and this, that, and the third. And I see their credit reports and I'm like, man, oh man, you think you're rolling in the dough. You could be powerful right now.
Right.
Just, okay, I'll fix it. I got you. And it's not even student loans because 90% of the world owes student loans.
Okay,
it's
that's a high number.
A matter of how it's reported on your reports. You don't want any derogatory marks. Owning them is not the issue. Because I still owe on my student loans. I don't think I'm ever going to pay them off. Right. I just don't feasibly see it happening. But I don't have any late. I don't have any missed payments. You can literally call Nelnet or Navient or whoever your loans are with and say, I can only give you $30 a month. And they'll take it.
Right.
Granted, you're going to be paying forever, but they'll take it. And guess what? That eliminates late payments, that eliminates missed payments. You're making payments on time, so now you're in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
Your score jumps tremendously because usually your student loans are your lengthiest account.
Right.
And credit history plays a big part in your score too. So if you've been out of school 15 years and you've had those on your reports for 15 years and you've never been late, I guarantee you your scores are at their optimal level.
Wow. Okay.
Well, okay. People don't know that though.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
You have the mindset that it has to be paid off. I have to pay this off. No, you don't. Just make sure that you're paying it on time and that you're never late.
I just got into it with someone about this. They told me that I should pay off my student loans. And I was like, I don't think I should have to pay to that I want to learn. But you know what? Now I'm going to make sure I hit them with this right now, for sure.
Well, and so many people, though, are in career. They're like I said, doctors and nurses, right? They're making 100 plus a year. But they have $150,000 worth of debt because of school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even make enough to feasibly pay these off.
Right. Okay.
It's not going to happen. So you have to, going back to earlier when we first started, be honest with yourself and say, truthfully, what can I give these people every single month?
Yeah, budget.
And that's it. It's a matter of addressing it. It's a matter of you calling because they're going to call you and say, no, we see what you make. You can give us $900 a month. And then that's when you tell them, no, I can't. I can give you $275, though, or whatever the situation. Like I said,
right.
I have had clients that I tell them you'll give them $30 a month. Just tell them to leave you alone. You don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take it. Interest plays a part, obviously, but like I said, it's student loan debt is one of those things you're never going to get rid of.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
Well, you can even file a bankruptcy and your student loan debt won't go. That'll be the one thing that won't come off.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, that's messed up. Like,
oh, okay, that's fine. We'll come after you after you die. What is your son going to do when he grows up?
pay off his mama's loan, that part.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for this interview. I definitely appreciate you coming through to let some of these, my harmonic people, know what's going on with their credit, income to debt ratio. Just, I appreciate the knowledge that you gave. I know you guys were paying attention, writing it down. Right. Go ahead and shout out your social media, how they could find you, websites, everything. You guys already know I'm going to definitely post the links on harmonypolitics.com. You guys will see it on the audio tab as well as the blog tab. It's always posted the newest one of the week. So, yeah, go ahead and tell them about your platforms, what you got going on.
The best platform to find me on, obviously, would be Instagram, and that would be Better Credit Brina 1. It's just like it sounds, because I've dropped so many gems on IG. I have a Facebook as well, but not as savvy on Facebook as I am with Instagram. I have a website as well. It's www.emgtoday.com/MissPorsche. That's a lot of information, but it's all on Instagram. So if you check me out on Instagram, everything you need, phone numbers, emails, other platforms, it's all there. I've been doing this. I'm kind of a seasoned vet as far as credit is concerned. And I've learned that social media is probably one of the best platforms because it's free and it's at everybody's fingertips. So I try to drop as much information as I can without going into detail, and keeping you guys in the know, because like I said, I reach one, teach one. Everybody needs to know this stuff. If you don't know it, you need to know it. And everybody's on Instagram all day long, so I know you see it. If you're right. Following me, you see it.
I definitely see him, you guys. And like I said, it helped her. Those gems really did help me, and I will definitely keep you guys updated with what's going on with my credit situation, because I am really about to book her services right now as soon as we finish this interview. So thank you guys for checking out this podcast. And as always, peace, love, and harmony. Until next Tuesday.